Repeat after me.
Hebrews 10:24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day from our
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that you would bless it. And as we continue in this service, as we lift our hearts in worship to you, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have complete charge, and may your will ever be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, fifth grade or under. Children's church. Now, we're getting started early, and here's my notes this morning. And it says 7 14-foot tuba sets, 10 8-foot tuba sets, 2 12-foot tuba sets. Maybe. I guess I did write a little bit on the other side. But, as I was preparing this, I thought about the first sermon I preached. Was in a church in Everett, Washington. It was about 1958. And being really gung-ho, I took probably one of the most difficult passages of Scripture to expound. For it is appointed unto man to die once, but after this the judgment. Now that's a good first summer. And, but you know, God was there, and two young ladies came and knelt at the altar and prayed through and gave their heart to the Lord. And thank God for that.
Amen.
This morning we pray that God will bless and that first sermon was, I imagine, probably at least 4 or 5 minutes long. This one will probably be a few minutes longer, but we promise to have you out home before 2 o'clock. I turn your attention this morning to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And I have to apologize a little bit to Sharon and George because we use this same passage of Scripture 2 weeks ago or a week ago in our Bible study. If you have your Bibles, or if you take the Pew Bible and like to read along, I'm reading out of the King James Version. I grew up with it. I love it. Some have never opened its pages. Unlike one member of the former congregation, if you read anything but King James, it was of the devil. I don't know what Christianity did from the year 1 to 1700, because they didn't have the King James before then. So, but I trust that whatever you have there, you'll be able to follow along. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry your bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only broken the Sabbath, but said that also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that it might speak forth and touch our hearts. And may your Holy Spirit direct every word that would proceed out of my mouth this morning. May you descend upon every heart here. May each sense your presence and know that you are in control. And we pray that this day your will be done. We find here Jesus is on his way to the temple. And there's a feast. And it says it here in verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there at Jerusalem was the pool of Siloam, and it was supposed to have some magical powers, if you would imagine that, at a certain time of the year, an angel would go down and the waters would begin to bubble, and whoever was first into the water was healed of their infirmity. Now, it says that it was a place there that is Bethesda and had five porches, so we can pretty large place. And here are people, most of them are laying down on mats. It tells us that there's blind, there's halt, there's withered, every imaginable disease is there, with just the faintest of hopes. But most are pretty healthy. They're not anything they can do, and they're hopeless. They're in a condition and seems like there's nobody to help. And, you know, we think of our nursing homes throughout our area and beyond. When you go in, you see a lot of this hopelessness, and people are there, and many of them had no choice. Some have been placed there to get them out of their someone's hair. Others, because they've never had anybody to care for them, are there. Some are there because of their condition is such that family members can't care for them. But it's pretty much a hopeless, helpless situation. And this was the case as Jesus walked there by the pool of Bethesda. And as he viewed that scene, his eye was attracted to one man and said that he'd been 38 years that he'd been an invalid. That'd be kind of discouraging. And we don't know what the case is. We would think that the numbers coming in, you'd start here at the far reaches, and then as the years went by, you might move just a little bit closer to the pool. And as Jesus' eyes lit upon this man, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus knew that he'd been there a long time. And the man's response was, every time the water is troubled before I haven't got anyone to help me, and as I inch my way toward the pool, someone else gets there ahead of me. And pretty hopeless scenario. And Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he answered, "I don't have anybody to help me." Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately we read that the man was healed, stood up, but you know, didn't take very long until the opposition was there. "What in the world are you doing? Getting up, and here you are packing your mat. This is the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Good work. Good work. You know, they didn't see the miracle that had been done. That didn't make any difference. The man was breaking the Sabbath, and that was breaking their rules. And then things turned even a little bit worse because they said, "Who in the world told you to get up and take your bed and get out of here?" And he said, "I don't know who it was, but whoever he was, he told me to take my bed and walk. And that's what I'm doing." We read that a little while later, Jesus found him in the temple. And you know, that struck me. He was healed, and the first place he went was the place of worship. He wanted to give God glory for what had happened to him. You know, it says Jesus met him there, and he found out it was Jesus, and he told those that had questioned him before, it was Jesus that did that. And of course, they're on Jesus like the wet blanket. And he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And that really set him on the edge. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was saying that he was equal with God. You know, no thought of what was done. No thought that here was one that had lain for 38 years, helpless, that was restored whole. But he broke a rule and then claimed kinship with God. You know, do we sometimes get so bound up in rules, you know? Certainly, the rules of the church are important. We need some guidelines. We need to have that which can help us to hold us steady. But that's not the important thing, following a bunch of rules. But that we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We read there that Jesus said, and it's on over in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's the important thing. He that heareth the word of God. Scripture tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. same was in the beginning with God. And God is saying, we need to hear, we need to pay attention, we need to, first of all, the most important thing, if we are to have life eternal, is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we read, or that's in John 6:37, excuse me. John 14 says that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. You know, today we're seeing a lot of people trying to come in to salvation only one time. Years and years ago, it was about my second pastor, and I was working full-time as well as pastoring, and I was working with a young man, and I began to talk to him about Christ and salvation, and I said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, no, I don't care. Now, that's the only person in 50 years of ministry that I ever heard make a statement like that. And thank God, a few years later, he and his wife got saved and were tremendous workers in the Burlington Church. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, if your condition seems to be helpless and hopeless, I've got the answer if you just come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we read in 2 Peter, God is not willing that any should perish. Not willing that a single soul should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We look around us and we see a lot of people, and we're not very sure that we want to see them come to repentance. You know? What about that ISIS fighter that's murdering Christians? Do we want to see him come to repentance? God does. God does. And, you know, I had a beautiful privilege. I grew up in the church. My parents were fantastic Christians. They lived their religion 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. rebellious son. I had a beautiful little daughter, 3 years old. She was taken from him the day after Christmas. And thank God for a praying grandmother that when everything looked very hopeless as far as her grandson's life was, the way it was going, with mom and dad and grandma especially, didn't give up, I'm sure God. But, you know, grandma had 9 boys. She always prayed that one of her boys would preach the gospel. But she rejoiced when I got saved and finally come to the place that I preached the gospel. And wherever we were, I knew that when I stepped in the pulpit on Sunday morning, that Grandma was praying. And wherever she was, and she lived in Longview, I knew that at service time, she was there in front to pray for her pastor. And when Grandma passed away, you know, I felt that in my spirit that Grandma was gone. And I had lost a real prayer partner. And her favorite verse, or song, was Amazing Grace in that last verse. And Grandma would fit on an arm, and she carried a little lace hanky about so square. And when they get to that last verse, she'd take out her little lace hanky and she'd be going up down the aisle of the church, praising God. You know, when we've been there 10,000 years, right, shining as the sun, we no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. She'd been a widow for 32 years, and Jesus, and the Old Testament said, he becomes her husband. And she had a love affair with him. It wouldn't quit. So she was a tremendous prayer woman. Thank God for faithful Christians. You know, it's not whether we follow a bunch of rules, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that brings us into heaven. God is not willing that I perish. It's left to a lot of people like that was going to happen. And certainly there were those that even when I got the place of ministry. He'll never make it. He will fail. Thank God he's allowed me to continue in ministry. Because of him, I'll not fail. Certainly, I'm sure that God has been sad at some of the things I've done, or maybe some of the things that I haven't done. But he is always faithful. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Never. That's a pretty long lasting word. I'll never leave you and protect you. We can relax in Him. And trust Him completely. And that is going to be our entrance to heaven. God cares. He cares for you this morning. And we pray that you'll hear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and it's more than hearing, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, that's on Jesus, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, there are those that say, what does it matter? When I die, I'm dead, that's the end of it. If I believe God's word, then I have to believe there is eternity, time without end, never ending time. But it also speaks of never ending punishment if I don't hear and pay attention. He that believeth on my word hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death. He tells us, you know, we're dead before we're alive. Now, we don't think of that very often. But it says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are only become alive through Jesus Christ. We only pass from death, eternal death, into eternal life through Christ. This morning, have you made that decision for Christ? Do you believe on Him completely? Is He more than just a healer? You know, there were crowds that flocked Jesus all the time. They were there because they enjoyed seeing the miracles. They enjoyed sitting down on a hillside and listening to him speak and then for him to break out lunch. But it didn't take them all to eternal life. Some said, he's a fake. He breaks the rules. So that means he's not a good person. He's a believer. Father, I thank you this morning that you are with us. We pray that we might each one hear your word, and not only hear, but may we be responsive to your call. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Father, it seems like so often times we're so busy and doing so many things, and a lot of them don't really count for much of anything. And we know that in the midst of our busy life that we can neglect your word and spending time with you. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you would touch our hearts. And if we've been lax, we pray that you would forgive us. And Father, if there's a single person here this morning that hasn't made that commitment to you, hasn't heard you call, come unto me, we pray that even now as we speak, that they might make that commitment. And Father, we pray that in these times, and as we look at that that's going on all around us, we sense that time isn't going to last a great much longer. And what we do, we need to do now. We know that we don't have a guarantee of anything tomorrow. And so we pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts and draw us close. May we sense your loving arms around us and drawing us to yourself. And may we hear your voice and may we commune with you as we are. Oh Lord, we pray that your will shall be done. And may you be glorified. We see all those that would try and glorify themselves. But may you be glorified, O Lord. And may every heart, said that you're not willing that a single one here, especially in this service this morning, you're not willing that a single one would perish, but that all might come to repentance and eternal life. Father, we pray that all here and may respond to your call. thank you for your word. We pray your blessing upon us. Father, as we go from this service, go through the rest of this day, the days ahead, we pray that you would direct each one of us, direct our every footstep, direct our every word that we would speak, direct our every action, Lord, that we would do, that all might praise and glorify your matchless name. And Father, we pray your richest blessing upon each and every one here this morning. May all sense your presence and sense the warmth of your spirit as you would put your arms around them. Father, in all these things, we pray that your will might be done.
Amen. Amen.